This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Welcome along to the latest edition of the Golf Podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham in the studio to look at the championship and the Wells Fargo championship as well this week. A couple of events, one on the European Tour and one on the PGA Tour. First of all, good afternoon, Mr. Mike Grenham.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dave Kellner.
Sung Yul-no winning his first event on the PGA Tour.
Mr. Sung Yul-no.
Winning his first event on the PGA Tour last week. And I could barely believe that he's only 22 years old, Sung Yul-no. It does feel like he's been around for ages, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he's been a very precocious young player. And did the job in fine style, didn't he? He really did.
Yeah, he looked. He was so composed in that final round, and he had, of course, won the Maybank Malaysian Open back on the European Tour when he was just 18. It's taken him a while to confirm that promise, Mike. But it was an impressive victory in blustery conditions. He held his nerve well, and I think it's probably testament to his character that he leads the tour in the bounce back stat, that bounce back ability stat, number one in that stat.
Go on, Mike. Interested in David. We talk about stats a lot on this podcast and what have you. And I noticed that he was actually, last week we talked about greens regulation and proximity to the hole were two of the stats that we were really keen on. He was top four in both those stats.
Was he?
Yeah. So it just shows you, if you can, you know, get these stats do matter at certain courses. I noticed that his stats were very good across the piece, actually. If you have a look back and go on the PGA Tour website, in this event, he was... you know, he did everything pretty well, but certainly the key stats that we picked out, he really mulled them last week, you know, so excellent play by him.
Do you think it helped that a little bit that the chasers were Andrew Svoboda, Robert Streb, Jeff Overton, non-winners on tour? Do you think that helped him at all?
Yes, but Keegan Bradley was one of those as well, and he didn't perform very well, did he, on the final day? So it absolutely helped him. You could argue it fell into his lap a little bit as some players backpedalled. First time with his new caddy as well. Well, that's a nice start, isn't
it? Yeah, very nice. So, for his caddy as well.
Very nice. 10%. Yeah, he'd be liking that, won't he? Noah's a really good player, and we expect to see more of him. It's makes it very interesting. A lot of good young players coming through across the world, isn't there, Dave?
Definitely.
There really is. You know, good Americans and good Asians and some good Europeans as well, hopefully. So. Who do you think's the best young player in the world, Dave, under 22?
Oof, there's a question. Best young player in the world under Jordan Spieth.
I thought you'd say that. He is under 22, isn't he?
Yes.
I still have high hopes for Matteo Manassero once he gets a little bit longer in the next couple of years. I still have high hopes.
It's a good question. Who's going to win more major championships, Matt Kuchar or Sung Yul-no?
Oh, that's a close call, isn't it? It might be one or two each. Who knows? Noah's got a long way to go, hasn't he? Hasn't figured in any majors. Kuchar will win more majors than Noah. How about that?
Okay. On the other side, the European Tour, Alexander Levy won the China Open from Tommy Fleetwood, who you tweeted about, and Alvaro Queiroz. Good win for another Frenchman. The French players in the last couple of seasons on the European Tour have done outstandingly well.
Yeah, they have. They've been fantastic, haven't they, Dave? They really have. A certain je ne sais quoi.
There's that camaraderie.
I love the fact that they come on firing the champagne.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I just think it's great. Thomas Levy obviously got a bit carried away one year. He was covered in champagne, then jumped in the lake and broke his leg or whatever he did. But I even noticed that the Korean lads did it in
Charlie Wee
and Yang, and I thought that was great. I like stuff like that. It's great to see a little bit of camaraderie and... Levy's a really good player, and the French are just a coming force, aren't they?
They're indeed.
No, mate, it's great to see.
Let's move on to this week's two tournaments then, and we've got the Wells Fargo Championship and just the Championship.
What a strange title.
What a strange title. It's weird.
It used to be the Ballantines, didn't it?
It did. It was
in Korea.
It was originally scheduled to be played in South Korea, wasn't it, as well? But staging issues meant that the tournament organisers were forced to relocate, and they've chosen Laguna National in Singapore as the host venue. And as with a lot of these events, conditions won't be to everyone's liking. It'll be humid, chance of thunderstorms throughout the week. It's bound to be an attritional event. And it's a return to Singapore, isn't it, Mike? The Singapore Open was an event that was co-sanctioned between 2009 and 2012. And if you go back far enough, there's a little bit of course form as well, because the Singapore Masters was played at this venue from 2002 to 2007. So it's a return to Singapore and a return to this venue for the European Asian tour.
That makes Nick Doherty a certainty.
Yeah, he's got some incredible form here, hasn't he?
First, second and fourth on his last three outings at the course. Don't know if his current form's quite up to it, though.
Maybe not.
He's been very good on Sky Sports, hasn't he? I like him, actually.
I like him as well. He's been fantastic on their shot tracker. What do you call it? The simulator.
Yes.
Bernd Wiesberg, he's a long price for this event, though. Bernd Wiesberg is 14-1 favourite. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 16-1. Kiradek Appibhanrat in the betting at 20s, along with Ross Fisher, Andy Sullivan, Aniban Lahiri, Gregory Bordy, and Tommy Fleetwood, all 25s, and it's 33s and bigger the remainder. It's difficult to get a handle on exactly what type of play you need for this venue.
No, I don't think it is. Do you think so?
I do think so. Yeah, I think you need someone with good form in Asian Tour events.
Yeah, but this is a course that has favoured accuracy, isn't it, Dave? You've got to be pretty accurate off the tee. Look at the guys who've played well here. I think accuracy and greens in regulation, that type of player, tends to have done well here in the past. I know it's 7 years since they played here, but I don't think the course has changed that much. So you had a look at the events that were hosted here, and there's quite a lot of... it's not a course for long hitters, I don't think, and I'm not saying they can't win, but certainly the shorter, more tactical guys have a chance at this course.
Yeah, that's fair comment. There are numerous water hazards, aren't they, I suppose...
You've got to plot your way around a bit, you know, or you certainly used to have to, so... That would be my strategy.
How many picks have you got, Mike?
I've got one.
I've got one as well.
Shall I go first?
Yes.
Because my guy does fit into that criteria of being straight off the tees, fifth on tour for driving accuracy, and seventh for greens in regulation on tour. Felipe Aguilar is my pick. Not been in amazing form the last couple of weeks, missed cut on a 50th, but was fourth in the NH Collections event earlier in April, and had a host of top 10 finishes last year. Really straight, accurate player, just suited by this kind of course. As I said, I'd liked him to have played better in the last 2 weeks, but then I guess he wouldn't be 66-1 had he done so on the back of a fourth place. So I'm hoping, you know, that he can build on a host. I said, some really good finishes last year all over the place. Italy, China, Spain, South Africa, Dubai. So he can certainly play, you know, if the course suits him, he's someone who can definitely get in the mix.
It is well worth noting that usually these co-sanctioned events are dominated by players that ply their trade on the European Tour and not the Asian Tour.
I think that's fair
to say. But I've gone for someone at a big price this week who has plied his trade on the Asian Tour. I'm going with David Lipsky at 150-1 as my only selection in this event. I'll go half a point each way on Lipsky. He won the 2012 Asian Tour qualifying school and went on to win the Cambodian Classic on what was only his third start on tour that year on the Asian Tour. Things haven't quite materialised since then for Lipsky. He has got form in Singapore, in the Singapore Masters back in 2012, finished second at that event, and I think that reads well in the context of this event. He couldn't quite get into the swing of things when playing on the web.com tour in 2013, but I think he's a talented player. He'll enjoy conditions this week and worth a go at 150-1. He's got a little bit of form this season. I think he'll see this as an opportunity, Lipsky, and 150-1 for a guy that had a good collegiate career, I think's a decent price. So I'll go just half a point each way, just a small bet on David Lipsky.
I'm not overly familiar with his work, I have to be honest here, but good luck with that one.
It was one of those events where there were a lot of players that I liked, but all of them just were under the price, I thought.
Yeah, Bordy, my old pal Bordy, was on my mind this week. This course should really suit him, to be fair. I'll be keeping an eye on him in running, but it's only about 25-1. Tommy Fleetwood should play well again.
Same price.
Yeah, give him a little leech way, had a little leech way bet in running on him last week, finished second. I think he, general 50s at the time he was tweeted, so that was nice, paid for the week. Ross Fisher should play quite well here as well, I would think.
Yeah, you wouldn't like him at 20, though, would you?
No, I'm not backing him, but I expect him to play well.
Well, I had a couple on the shortlist. Andy Sullivan, who I tipped last week.
Yes.
He played really well again in these Asian events. He loves them. But he's 25-1 this week. He was 66-1 last week.
Yeah,
so
big difference.
It's almost a third of the price.
Yeah.
So couldn't get involved with him. Richie Ramsey should go well on this golf course.
To mention him, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Looking through his profile, though, doesn't play particularly well in hot, humid conditions in Asia.
Very, very good point that, Dave. I thought exactly the same thing myself. You think that this course would be suited to him, but he needs. Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there. He doesn't. He does better in European conditions, doesn't he?
Definitely.
Seemingly, anyway.
And just one final word for a guy, Lucas Beauregard, who's having a terrific season on the European Tour. Hasn't got much experience of these sort of conditions, but he's a player that I think could really leap forward in the game on the European Tour this season. So 66-1, Lucas Beauregard was interesting. And it's weird seeing Peter Uihlein in a field like this at 66-1, isn't it? Because this is a weak field, really, and he's 66-1. Mm. If you go back to the back end of last season, he'd be favourite for this event in that sort of form. He's 66ers now, but
he's playing badly, isn't he?
He's playing bad. But he played okay in the first round in last week in China.
Did he?
Shot a 69. So signs, maybe.
Yeah, you're absolutely. In terms of ability, he's he'd probably be the best player in the field in terms of raw ability, wouldn't he? So yeah, I hear what you're saying. You need to keep him. On your side if he starts making a move.
Let's have a look at the Wells Fargo Championship then. This is the main event this week on the PGA Tour, and Rory McIlroy is in the market at 13-2 favourite. Phil Mickelson 14-1, Justin Rose is 16s along with Lee Westwood. Jim Furyk is 25s, Ricky Fowler 25-1, Jimmy Walker 28s, Ryan Moore and Zach Johnson both 33s. And it's bigger the remainder. Two major pointers really ahead of this event for the golf better. After last year's event, the greens were terrible, the bent grass was replaced with the more weather tolerant Bermuda grass, and holes 15-18, known as the Green Mile, have been lengthened considerably. So new greens gone from bent grass to Bermuda, and a lengthening of the golf course. Two major pointers ahead of this year's championship, Mike.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, the changing the putting greens is that makes it slightly difficult, doesn't it? It's hard to really know whether previous course form is as relevant. I'm going to take it on, well, I hope it is, because I mean, my players have all played quite well there before. And the course is still set up the same way. You've got to be relatively accurate off the tee. So we'll see whether putting makes that much of a difference. I'm assuming it won't until I see evidence to the contrary. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit of an imponderable, isn't it, this year?
It makes it a little more complicated.
It does make it more complicated.
I'm not as bothered about the lengthening of the course, because it's not by that much that they've lengthened it, is it?
No, I think 16 and 17 are going to play really tough this year.
Yeah, well, they always do, don't they?
They do, but 16's been re-sighted, the fairway's been moved, and 17... was a damn difficult par 3 before. That's been lengthened. If they use the back tees on that par 3, players are going to be going in with woods on that par 3, conceivably, because they can stretch it to 220-odd yards now. So I think 16 and 17 will play more difficult than they have done in the past. Length might be more of a factor around this golf course than maybe previously it has been. I think it's a factor anyway. I just think you need to drive the ball well around this golf course to contend.
Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on a criteria that is absolutely the right one for this event. Is that people do win it with being very accurate off the tee. Others, such as Rory, hit it a mile and won here. If I was being pushed, I would say I think you've got to put well here, actually. But that's very much an imponderable because of the change of greens. Scrambling's important. I do think you have to keep it in play off the tee. I do think that's probably more important than it is some weeks on the US Tour.
When Rory McIlroy was 8-1 earlier on in the week, Monday, I thought you would be a certainty to pick Rory McIlroy. He's been clipped into 13-2. I'm not as certain you've gone for him now.
No, I haven't gone for him, but I would advise anyone having a bet on the event probably to have a little saver on him at that.
Yeah.
Just to save your stake, maybe. But yeah, I'm not sure I'd have picked him even at 8th as an outright pick, to be fair.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
He's got fantastic form here.
Oh, yeah.
He's in very, very good form. But my reservation with McIlroy is that he's not closed one out yet this season. And if you've not closed one out this season, can you be getting heavily involved at 13-2? That was my only reservation with McIlroy. I'm pretty sure he'll go very, very well.
He should be. It's hard to see him being out of the mix, isn't it? And that's why I say I think you've got to probably have a save in him. Because he sooner or later he's going to run away with the tournament, and you don't want to be just watching him sail over the horizon, you know, particularly on a course where he's finished first and second and tenth in the last 4 years. He did miss the cut one year here, though, rather interestingly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I had to pick the winner, someone said just pick the winner, it's obviously he would be the man.
Yes.
But in terms of betting value, I'm prepared to just, you know, pick other people as a more points-wise picks.
Yeah. I've got a couple of selections in this event.
I've got three, so I'm going to go first. How about that? I'm taking the bull by the horns. They're all pretty much the same, so I don't know which one to go first with, but I tell you what, I'll go with Webb Simpson as my first pick. Webb Simpson is a member here at Quail Hollow, so if the greens are a factor, maybe, and I don't know this is a fact, I haven't been on the phone to him or anything, I'm hoping he may have played the new greens. I'm hoping he may have had practice on. He's a member here. He must have had, surely, Dave, mustn't he?
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would say so. His course form is not spectacular, but it's not bad either for a player of his quality. 21st, 4th and 32nd in the last 3 years. So the 4th is obviously an eye-catching finish by him. Was in very, very good form up to Phoenix this year. Form has dropped off, really, though, I have to be fair. I picked him in the Masters, where he flattered to deceive on a couple of occasions, coming with a little bit of runs, and then I think he started with 3 birdies, if I remember rightly, didn't he?
He did.
And then going on bogey runs. So he needs to get back to his form of earlier this year, but we're better than in his home state. And you don't forget, his form was phenomenal early in the season, as I say, up to Phoenix. Got to the last 16 of the World Match Play, but in stroke play events needs to lift his game a little bit. His greens and regulation, starts his putting, his accuracy are all ideal for this. He's definitely a ball striker and a scrambler. And at 50-1, I think he's a very big price. If he can get back to the early season form, he should go very well here. There is obviously the chance that he continues his mundane run, but
yep.
But I don't think he will. I think he'll play better this week. He's been off since the Masters, focused. He'll want to do well in this event.
What's the staking plan with Webb?
A point each way on all of these.
Okay, point each way, Webb Simpson.
Only half a point each way on Aguilar, but a point each way on all these. They're all similar fancies.
50-1, Webb Simpson. The only... I know you've just mentioned it, obviously out of form, a little bit out of form, but Simpson does tend to play well in spells, doesn't he?
Yeah, this could be the start of one.
Hopefully. I'm going
There's no reason to think not.
No, there isn't. There isn't. I'm going with Robert Karlsson as my selection here, my headline pick. Point each way, Robert Karlsson at 100-1, Karlsson, which I think is a good price for the Swede. He's struggling to get starts because he's got a limited status on tour at the moment, but there are serious signs that he's coming back, and I'm willing to chance that he won't be rusty this week, which is a concern because he's not played since mid-March in Europe. But he just missed out on qualifying for the Honda Classic. His 3 starts on the PGA Tour this season have yielded very, very positive results. Tied 10th at the McGladrey, tied 6th in Mayakoba, and tied 14th in Puerto Rico. Not quite the standard of this event, admittedly. But adding to that a couple of decent finishes on the European Tour, I reckon he might go well this week. He finished 4th here last year, and although he's lost a bit of distance from the tee, which is a concern, I reckon it'll be a good event for him to announce himself again. A little bit of added pressure because he needs to perform, really, Karlsson, because he's only got that limited status. But I thought 100-1, I expected him to be shorter in the betting, so I'll have a point each way on Robert Karlsson at 100-1.
Okie dokie. My second pick is A guy who played well on his debut here last year and was 10th, Brian Harman. Have you picked him?
No, I've not. I was. Yeah. He was on the list, though, definitely.
All right. I wondered why you did a little snigger.
Yeah.
In good form in 2014, really as proven by a third in the Northern Trust and a seventh on his last outing in the Heritage. Four top tens, I think, this season. Playing very well. And I just think he's, as I say, played really well on his debut here last year, which is very interesting. So I'm hoping he can build on that and go a few better this year. Not got ridiculously great stats for the course in terms of accuracy and what have you, but he does put well, and he does hit the ball close to the hole. I think he's fourth on tour in proximity to the hole this year, which could be important on these new greens. So at 80-1, I'm willing to go each way on Brian Harman. I thought that was a big price. I thought, you know, the top 10 at Heritage was decent, and top 10 here last year, I like his chances.
Brian Harman, the pick at 80-1. My final selection, I'm going with Pat Perez as my second selection here. A point each way, Pat Perez at 66-1. He's not everyone's cup of tea because he can lose it mentally on the golf course. There's plenty to like about his game. You think that's an issue, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah. There is a lot to like about his game apart from that mental side of things, because he's had some real top finishes here this season. With a tied 8th at the Sony Open, tied 8th in Hawaii, and I think there's a lot to like about his last two starts in Texas, where he finished tied 11th, and in the RBC Heritage at Harbortown, where he finished tied 18th. I closed with a 64 on that occasion, so hopefully he'll be able to keep those positive vibes going through to this week. He drove the ball very well on those two courses as well, which I think is a big positive, because they are two testing courses from the tee in Texas and Harbortown. He's only got the one PGA Tour win. That was back in 2009, but hinted at another this season. And his sixth here in 2011 shows that it's a venue that Pat Perez can definitely score on. I think he'll have a big week, Pat Perez. So I'll go a point each way at 66.
Fair dues, fair dues. By the way, Dave, where did the free lunch bet go?
I've no idea. I was going to ask you that genuinely at the end of the podcast, because we, I think both the players bombed out, but I'm not sure who bombed out worse than the other.
Right.
You had Russell Knox, didn't you?
I did. He missed the cut.
I had.
We can check that later.
I think it was Will McKenzie.
All right.
I think I took you on with it, and he missed the cut, but he only just missed the cut.
Oh, so you might be one up then.
Maybe in poor position there.
Okay. My third pick is a slightly speculative one. A guy who missed a lot of last season with a wrist injury and has been playing on a medical exemption. But he's a definite winner on tour. He's winning multiple times. Jonathan Bird is my third pick at 100-1. And that's a big price for a guy who has form figures of three top tens in the last 5 years here. So he has missed a couple of cuts, so that phrase that we've used a few times on the podcast, a famine or a feast, it could be one of those. You could easily be seeing him sitting out the weekend a la Russell Knox. But a fifth in 2009, a second in 2011, and a ninth in 2012 give me encouragement that Jonathan Bird could make a good run this week at this course. He's been in pretty solid form after a very poor start to the year. He was 12th in Puerto Rico, not the best event as you said earlier, but top 20 in Houston and 31st at the Heritage. So yeah, he's been playing much better, albeit he missed the cut last weekend. But I'm hoping that's just, you know, he's gone away and practiced for an event that he really does seem to love. And when he gets it right, Jonathan Bird can definitely mix it with the best. And if he's ever going to win this season, I think this probably is the place. So 100-1, I thought that was quite a big price. What are his top 10 prices, Dave?
For a top 10 finish, Jonathan Bird is 7-1.
That's a bit short again, isn't
yeah.
it? They're going a bit short on these top 10 prices. I'm mulling that over. I'll probably go each way, I think.
I think you've got to at those prices,
yeah.
To be quite honest.
100-1. But big price for a guy who has such good course form, and he's certainly... He certainly knows how to win when he gets the chance.
I'm furiously scrambling around here because I forgot to print out Mark Adsett's selection, so I'm furiously trying to get those up on the screen.
Well, Mark Adsett certainly picked
Kevin Na in this event,
he did. Because Kevin was on my mind very much for this event, player alike, often overpriced. And yeah, he was his pick in this one.
I've got it up here now. So the international, or it's called a championship, isn't it? He's put the international here. Sometimes less is best. I've dug out the Elliott's form book for this event. Treeline narrow fairways and numerous water hazards were on offer for the last visit here. Two players that get a good write-up, Ross Fisher and Wade Ormsby. Both missed the cut last week, but they have both been doing okay in the last few months and have positives at this venue. And for the Wells Fargo, a good field and a great warm-up event for the players, which is next week. That should be good. Kevin Na is top of the scrambling charts, which is a big part at this event. Again, he missed the cut last time out, but he's been going well lately, so he's forgiven. And he played well on the Bermuda Greens in Florida in March. And this year, the Wells Fargo has switched to the Bermuda Greens, which is something we referenced earlier. So, Kevin now in the Wells Fargo, and Ross Fisher and Wade Ormsby in the championship Adsad.
That's the reviews of our odds compiler, odds maker, Mark Adsad. Yep. So, fair point by him there. I thought this was a tricky event, this Wells Fargo, Dave. You know, I've gone for three at quite big prices. But you know, my long list.
50 players on.
But I'll mention a couple. Lucas Glover plays ever so well here and has been showing signs of a return to form. I might have to have a little saver on him actually. Kevin Nair, as we've just mentioned, should go well. Rory Sabatini, flattered to deceive last week, could be interesting. He was third year a couple of years ago. I wouldn't rule him out. What do you think, Dave? Any that caught your eye?
Yeah, a couple I want to mention most definitely. Jonas Blixt. If this is a real major championship setup like they're expecting, because obviously they're hosting the PGA in 2017, I think it is. I thought Jonas Blixt, who finished ninth here on debut, off the back of that second at the Masters, but he's short at 50-1, I think. Maybe priced about right.
I'm not sure he's accurate enough off the tee for this course.
Maybe not.
Great player, though.
Jason Kokrak was the one that came closest to being picked.
He's a member here, isn't he?
I think he is.
He's a local boy at any rate, I think.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm without a computer again, Dave.
I've operating blind. I've left you in the dark again this week.
You've cut the wire on.
Cut the cord.
Yeah.
You were too knowledgeable.
I was getting too full of myself when I had a computer to help me.
He's 50-1 though, Jason Kokrak, which is just a little bit too short. He can't go in at 50-1, but his stats, they figure well for this venue. 10th in scoring average, really gives it a crack off the tee.
Yeah.
16th in the all-around, scrambling well. Jason Kokrak, he could go very well. His form is impressive this season.
Yeah,
he's in
great form. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, he was on my long list.
I actually think last week's winner, Sung Yul Noh, could go well.
Yeah, full of confidence with his new caddy.
Yeah.
What about the market leaders then, Dave? We very briefly discussed Rory, who can definitely win.
They're too short. Lee Westwood's only got two PGA Tour wins ever. He's 16-1. Phil Mickelson's out of form, isn't he, really?
Yes, but you know, he's
good at this venue.
Yeah, he's good at this venue. He's never won here, though, surprisingly.
No.
I think he's
the all-time money leader without winning.
Which is unusual. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Mickelson play very well this week. I really think he's due for a... I don't think he's been playing... He's had a couple of little niggles, and if he's all right after a couple of weeks off, wouldn't surprise me. He'll be raring to go after missing the cut at the Masters.
And Rose is coming back into form, definitely, isn't he?
Justin Rose, definitely. Yes for sure.
That about wraps us up then. Let's recap the picks. We'll start with you, Mr. Grenham.
Felipe Aguilar, Mr. Kellner, in the event in whatever it's called.
Singapore.
Half a point each way at 66-1. And in the Wells Fargo, a more familiar event, we'll go for a point each way on Webb Simpson at 50s, Jonathan Bird at 100s, and Brian Harman at 80s.
Yeah, I'm going with in the championship, half a point each way on David Lipsky at 150-1, and a point each way in the Wells Fargo on Robert Carlson at 100-1, and Pat Perez at 66-1. Just a bit of housekeeping then. Who's the player you don't want to win this week?
Kevin Na or Rory Sabatini would be fighting for that prize, I think.
Easy for me, Jason Kokrak,
right.
50-1.
Sabatini,
the guy that I don't want to win. Sabatini for you. And you can follow us on Twitter at dkellner and at mgrenham, the Twitter addresses. You can also follow us on Golf Twitter Tipster at Golf Twit Tipster. That competition still in progress. I need to find out who won the month of April. because Mayor's competition starting this week. So do get involved with @GolfTwitTipster, golftwittertipster.co.uk, and we're looking forward to the players next
week.
Can't
wait. Should be great.
It's a great event, isn't it? Yeah, an event that you've got a good history in as well.
Oh, well, yeah. But it's all about the future, Dave, isn't it? We don't look at the past. But yeah, we've had some wins in that and some close calls as well. It's just a fantastic, iconic event, isn't it?
It is, on a great golf course. Thank you for listening to this week's golf podcast. You've got the Championship, which is the event in Singapore, co-sanctioned by the European Tour, and the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow to get stuck into this week. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this week's golf podcast with William Hill and myself and Mike. We'll be back next week. We'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.